Hello and welcome to Worlds Apart. A friend in need is a friend indeed. The Russians are fond of repeating this saying, but they could hardly expect that when faced with Western sanctions and apartheid-like efforts to ostracize all things Russians, the Black Continent will reach out its hand. Most African countries are neutral in the Ukrainian conflict, and some have even expressed a willingness to mediate it. Can it lead to a peaceful solution? Well, to discuss that, I'm now joined by Slawzi Mohammi, founder and chief executive officer of Ladies in the Frontlines. It's great to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be sitting in front of one of my favorite presenters of RT. Thank you.
And actually, we have a very timely time for this discussion. I hinted some latest geopolitical developments in my introduction, but I want to start with the title of the organization that you represent, Ladies in the Frontline. We live in such paradoxical times when even the most basic and foundational concepts are being renegotiated or debated. So I have to ask you, who are the ladies? How are they different from women? And what about men and gentlemen?
Ladies in the Frontline was rather born almost 20 years ago. And it was Ladies in the Frontline. Funny enough, it came from a church sermon where these were ladies in the church that were leading in business, in church issues, in entertainment. So we traded on Ladies in the Frontline for 5 years before we actually registered the company. So when we went and wanted to register as Ladies in the Frontline, we were told, no, the name already has been taken, so we have to register it as Leading Ladies of Africa. So we then registered Leading Ladies and traded as ladies. So it's got two. It's Leading Ladies of Africa and the World, which was first Leading Ladies of Africa. And as we started traveling around the world and becoming global, other women around the world says, why don't you include us? Why is it only Africa? So we then added and the world. But Ladies in the Frontline was about female leaders around the world. And then Leading Ladies of Africa and the World is what we actually now use.
Now, but this frontline part of it is very interesting because, I mean, we live in a world where wars and conflicts are multiplying. But I think when you founded your organization, you meant that even in the peaceful areas,
yes,
like business, it's
exactly
still hard for women to perform and succeed.
Yeah.
Is it still the case?
Yeah, it's still the case. Actually, funny enough, we started, yes, the intention and everything was ladies. And then we are amazed that we ended up with 70% female-controlled entity, 30% of men who do not mind being led by women. I still have some people who are actually even close friends, but that have my deputies in other spheres, and they are men. And they have no qualms about in public. I've been working with them in BRICS and all, and they still call me chair. Even sometimes I forget myself, but we're in a, and they just say chair. And so it's actually 30% of very strong men and young people we have within it. 1 million young leaders around the world for peace, prosperity, and social cohesion.
Now, a number of African countries are already well represented. They have a good representation of women in governing structures and business. For example, in Rwanda, they account for about 50% of government officials and 60% of parliamentarians. But they haven't yet endangered a very noticeable change. Is it really about women or ladies or the particular gender, or rather the values and the principles, the qualities that we traditionally associate with femininity that may or may not be embodied by men?
I think with us, really, it was never about either challenging men per se. It was just saying, if I'm here and I'm making a contribution, if I'm here even in this office, even if I'm making tea, I do have a place at the table. I will not just be a person that passes by with a tray of tea. I will claim my space as a person because we will work together as a team, men and women. Let us work together, but do not let us be somewhere in the background, because as we know, in Russia, you have a history of the night witches. I mean, history is like those. In China, you had the first women who were in the front line of wars, and they added a lot of value. Basically, it's just women saying, I mean, we don't come in and saying we're going to push up men, we are some feminine, but we are there as women or as ladies. I have a favorite saying, a quote that says, never has there ever been a time where there is that which is needed, which is woman in this day and age. So because whether we like it, we coexist as human beings and across this multipolar world, now as they call it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, as I was preparing for this interview, I came across the figure that in Africa, 70% of women are employed in informal sectors of the economy, mm-hmm. be it the gray economy, or they're doing some important work at mm-hmm. home, mm-hmm. taking care of the children, taking care mm-hmm. of the elderly. Oftentimes, when men leave, for example, because of the conflict, they mm-hmm. take care of the entire communities. Mm-hmm. And I understand sort of your plight of encouraging women to go into the formal labor force, but I also wonder if this informal part of what women do in societies should also be acknowledged and properly remunerated. If everybody leaves home for work, who is going to take care of that huge part of life, you know, passing on the traditions, passing on care, you know? What about that?
Fortunately, actually, the leading ladies is about starts from the premises that the women culturally, as a South African in our culture, was that the men went out to the formal labor. They go like to the mines, which were out in the urban areas, and the women were the ones that actually took care of homes and stayed at home. These were women who actually were in the front line, in the sense that there would be no men going to work if there was nobody taking care of. So those are the women. So leading ladies we have across, it's not just into the formal sector. It is women who are planting a garden in their backyard so that the children eat while the man is doing the formal work. So those, at least within ours, are actually playing. I came with women who are not actually, two of them, not actually, they are more on from the civil society. They like going out there helping women in the rural areas, helping with the development. If you hear that there's a bridge that's fallen off, the kids can't cross over to go to school, those are the women that jump in and call the formal ones, says, what do we do? So it's inclusive when it comes to that. It's just women leading in every sphere. It's not just formal, it's in entertainment, it's women who are housewives. Mm-hmm. Insist that they get remunerated, because if these women were not taking care of the home, somebody would have to be either be paid, or grandma would have to take care of the kids. So we don't forget those. I come from a family of very strong women. I only lost my 96-year-old grandmother last year. My mother is 83, she's alive. So I always say I come from good stock, Japanese finds women, and I've seen them. So I come from those types of women that have always been very strong, and they've been my exemplar.
I think there is a lot of commonalities here between Africa and Russia. I would actually say that Africa, like Russia, is a she. Mm-hmm. It has vast resources, mm-hmm. Enormous fertility in all areas, lots of generosity, huge expansive potential, but I think in both cases that potential remains either not fully realized or sometimes exploited by the outsiders. Mm-hmm. What can possibly change that in your view?
Yeah, actually, you are absolutely correct. Probably the reason why I have this passionate recognition and feel at home in Russia is because, in the same way, like I said, my own babushka knows about Russia because of me. She passed away a month after I came back from Russia. And she knew about altitude. So, where are you going this time? I say, Russia. Then I'll show her. And when I came, she says, bring me those sweets over there. They have nice sweets. Recently, we've been teaching women, for instance, because when they see only on mainstream media about Russia, which is just conflict with Ukraine, then we come and say, this is, and then they are like, you show them, say, Google the night witches. And they're like, wow. So they are this type, because to them, you know, female pilots, we heard about them in China, we heard about them. In Africa, in Kenya, there were women that were called, who were older women during conflicts that were at home. They managed to defeat the British because these women are the ones that somebody thinks, oh, some grannies at home. These were the grannies that were actually able to hide weapons and sit there with a blanket and nobody suspected, and they conducted a serious war.
Because they defended
their own land. The exploitation and the non-recognition of the strength that makes that which is woman around there is what we try to highlight and saying, hey, you know, there's a saying that if you come to the table and nobody has left a chair for you, you bring your own chair. And you have a right, even as a woman, where you're sitting in a boardroom and you're all equals, you're board members, and suddenly some man turns around and says, oh, who can get us coffee? I don't jump and...
Neither am I, come on.
Unless if I'm in a mood where I'm thinking it is the way it is asked, then...
When it's out of compassion,
yes,
rather than imposing.
Exactly, no. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I also need coffee, kind of thing, anyway. Mm-hmm.
Now, we have to take a short break, not a coffee break, but a short break for an advertising, but okay. We'll be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Worlds Apart with Lauzi Mahami, founder and chief executive officer of Ladies in the Frontlines. Madam Mahami, just before the break, we were talking about this basic dignity, and I think this ethos is very present in modern-day geopolitics because, first of all, we've been under several decades, or some would even say centuries, of very exploitative capitalism that treated the land and treated people around the world in this very sort of male-dominating fashion. You know, you do what I say, I get all the benefits, mm-hmm. and you stay mm-hmm. quiet. And if you don't stay quiet, you will face, pretty aggressive consequences. Mm-hmm. And I'm tying that, at least in my perception, to not only to Russia's entanglement in Ukraine, but to many other conflicts around the world where you know, the powerful, the powers that be come and try to dictate the terms to the people who live on that land. How do you see this process going? Do you think there's any change in how the receiving side is responding to that?
Women have always been there, as I said. And in terms of even the land, it is mostly women since the beginning of time that work the land to feed the families. It is the women when there's any dispossession and dictatorship of any sort. It is always the women that have to bring up, it is the women that have to bring up men that will be strong enough to handle whatever the pressures of the world. So ladies in the front line, literally, like, there is nothing wrong in being in the front line. And in a lot of issues like, say, business and everything, currently, yes, you are right. Sometimes the numbers, in my country, for instance, I've always been proud of the fact that we've had a Minister of Defense. I remember traveling with her overseas somewhere, and somebody in the asking, did you say that woman is a Minister of Defense? If the Minister of Defense is a Minister of Defense, like you say, and in that very male sort of, the question becomes, can she handle where sometimes you'd say, even if these are male generals, but as a minister, if I say, or I suggest that things should be going this way, like you say, sometimes as women, you'd meet there, she says, you need to just take orders or advice from us because this is a male-dominated area.
But this is a very interesting subject, I mean, psychologically, because if you look at some of the, let's say, Western female leaders, they're far more aggressive than their male counterparts. Mm-hmm. Some of them are the champions of supplying weapons and mm-hmm. fighting the war until the end. Mm-hmm. I remember, I mean, my biggest shock, I think, till this day was Hillary Clinton laughing in her CNN interview at the news of Muammar Gaddafi's inhumane murder. So I wonder if this female or women empowerment discourse can sometimes be used and exploited for geopolitical purposes, because we value women because they bring something, you know, another aspect of human psychology, of human experience. But if they become just like men or even worse than men, what benefit?
That's exactly what I said, that the whole thing of women and strength does not have to come and say, I don't want to be masculine. As a strong woman, I still enjoy the privilege of a man opening the door, for instance, for me, or standing on a chair for me. It's not about the competition of either, you know, masculinity. Like I said before, it's saying, it's a help. We work together in a situation. We respect one another. We both bring value. Let it be. I remember the Hillary Clinton thing. It still haunts me. Like, actually, I was like, wow, if this person has children and grandchildren, after this, 10, 20 years from now, when she finds out that she joked about some human being's life, like, you just not even an animal.
But I think the reason for that, I mean, psychologically speaking, is a total sort of dissociation from your own feelings, from your own emotions, from your own body. And this is what being on the front line sometimes does to women, because we do have this amazing inborn talent for relatedness, integration, supporting life, connecting to each other, even irrationally.
Compassion.
Women can sense things that the men sometimes do not pick up, but I think the world is in huge need of such values. How do you think it could be brought back instead of, you know, this hierarchical structure of top-down commands?
The balance has to be that women should always, the reason why, even when a male child has problems, the first person they think it's my mom, and they treasure mom, because you're right, mom brings that which is about being strong without necessarily wanting, and being strong, but still
not at the expense
human,
of another.
Exactly, not at the, because that gets exploited to a point where it even makes enemies amongst one another, because it's about who's going to be, you know, a fighting for this space. No, I'm stronger than. Strength does not have to be something that is, I don't know how, like I was making an example, that I don't have to sit in a room, in a board meeting with men, and I'm expected, because I'm a woman, I must go make tea. We are seeing strength that's coming, especially out of the African continent. Amazing women.
Absolutely, and not just women. I think some men as well, because we are recording this interview on the eve of a big African delegation expected here in St. Petersburg in Russia to hopefully mediate the Ukrainian conflict. From what I know, and the details are still scarce, they're in Kyiv, so they want to reach to, you know, at least two sides of this conflict. I'm not sure they are going to travel to the West, which perhaps would be necessary as well. But in your view, what do you think, how do you think the African perspective can help us deal with this stalemate?
Actually, in saying that, today in my country, it's what you call June 16. It is the uprising of the young people one day that took to the streets and said enough is enough, because of the apartheid system. And as we speak today, we still refer to people like myself as the class of 76, because I was that young person those years, and it was a teamwork. We had young men that would stand in the front and be the ones that threw the rocks at the barrel of a gun, but the women, we were right there as young girls, and we all the way, the women, when things got worse, you know, the women equally got killed. The women were the ones also that left the country, like, for instance, and got assistance from, like, the former Soviet Union for training. They trained militarily as well, and so it was a teamwork. Men and women can work together without any exploitation or anybody using that to the advantage of someone else. I mean, it is the women that got out and said, you go out there, we are here for you. So it's always been a teamwork thing, at least from where I come from. So today it is a very special day that I remember. I mean, I married somebody who was born on this day, and the poor guy, when I went out into exile, and he was from that country in Botswana, he couldn't celebrate that day ever since he got involved with me, because for me it meant something else. It has the memories of defiance from young students. So it is a very complex, but it has to be faced, because things as they stand are getting to it. We need one another. Things are, I mean, in fighting for the sovereignty of Africa and all other countries, the sovereignty, is that it's going to be have to be about teamwork.
Absolutely. And I think one of the African advantages is that many African people and African leaders have had a close brush with reality. They know what hardship is. They know what war is. They know what reconciliation is and how hard it is, and the, you know, the practical work that you need to invest into that. And my hope with this for now is that the Africans can bring some practical experience instead of, let's say, some abstract ideas about how the world is supposed to be. But this is my question. Many Western leaders want to make the world a better place, but it's oftentimes leads to worse outcomes than we had before. For example, Libya. I mean, it used to be a relatively prosperous country. Now it's an open-air slave market. I mean, there are people traded in some areas there. Is there any hope for embracing this team spirit internationally, in your view? Or is it just a pipe idea on my part?
It is what we really hope for. So, because honestly, conflict by nature are not pleasant on all sides. There's never really a winner. And the flavor that comes in, that we hope, especially the ladies in the front line type of the women bring, is to say there can be conflict resolutions without this thing of, you know, without maybe putting down men But like you say, women bring a different flavor. Men sometimes bring, let me see, who's got the longest skirt messer? But then in the middle there, who is? It's still going to be the women and the children that pay the price of something that they probably don't even understand. I mean, a few years ago when I was here with the same issue with Ukraine, my own sister that grew up under a very political enlightened environment asked the question. I was in the Red Square, beautiful flowers, and she says, where are you? Because I travel so much, they could never keep up with. And she said, where? I said, I'm in Russia. She says, really? There are places like that? And I realized, and I said, why? She said, when I think of Russia, I just think Russia, Ukraine. So sometimes what, and then I made a vow that I would bring my children, my grandchildren to visit Russia. So it's never always about what you're fed there. And women need to be the ones that said, yes, there are conflicts. Yes, but we would need to be part of the solution.
Yeah, yeah, and we will build the human connection.
Exactly.
You're talking about human connection here. What, my last question, and I also hoping to bring my son to South Africa. And broadly, more widely around the continent. And I just came from a trip there, and I was struck by how often Nelson Mandela is still quoted, and his famous remark in an interview when an American analyst asked him why would South Africa support Fidel Castro and Muammar Gaddafi, and he said that, you know, we don't assume that your enemies should be our enemies. And there was a lot of dignity and a lot of sort of sovereign speaking, sovereign spirit in that phrase. Do you think it's having a renaissance across the continent?
It is, because I came with a delegation of women who as well, I mean, the buzz around is Russia, Ukraine, like I said, with my sister that I had. And they are here and they're like, wait a minute. There's warmth. There's this human.
These are people too.
I mean,
too.
These are human. And then they keep on sending these pictures back home and says, people say, no, we thought you were in the middle of a war zone, kind of.
But see, it's apartheid-like thinking,
yes,
you know, that
yes.
is pushed on the people around
yes.
the world, that somehow some people are not really people.
Yes, I'm telling you that when you start saying Russian and somebody, I've evoked those kind of emotions sometimes just out of interest. I sit in the plane, I'm coming from Joburg, connecting in Dubai. I sit next to somebody who's going somewhere else because Dubai connects the world. And then this person, oh, by the way, with a nice face, friendly face, say, where are you going? I say, to Russia. And then the face changes. Say, what are you doing there? I mean, when I came for the energy forum in October, a travel agent that's owned by women that are enlightened and smart would not book my tickets because says you'd have to sign an indemnity that you're going into a war zone. And then I phoned this person when I was at the airport and I said, I'm actually about to board a flight to Moscow. But I understood, and as I was taking pictures, I would say, it is okay. Here, I am in Russia. So it is that which is women that have to try. And I'm hoping that this envoy that you're talking about that's in Kiev and coming here, like you say, especially Africa, because Africa has been through for hundreds of years. And I am liking the idea that there were 40 African countries for the Duma recently, and there will be probably more than 40 coming for the Africa, Russia. But in there, I'm hoping there would be enough leading ladies that would work in partnership with them, that bring that which is not, okay, let's see who's got more muscles than who, and just saying,
Let's see who has the bigger heart.
The longest skid missile or something like that.
Well, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you very
thank
much
Thank you
for
so much. It's been an honor being here.
And thank you for watching. Hope to see you again on Worlds Apart. We'll be right back.